I'd like to read three passages from the Bible. The first is in the second epistle to Corinthians, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye by his poverty might be enriched. Then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 of Luke, and the first verse. Chapter 19 of Luke, verse 1. And he entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was chief tax gatherer, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature, and running on before, he got up into a sycamore, that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. When he came up to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, he has turned in to lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation is come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 of Mark, verse 17. Mark chapter 10 verse 17. And as he went forth into the way, a person ran up to him, and kneeling to him asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? But Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour thy father and mother. And he answering said to him, teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said to him, one thing lackest thou, go, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me, taking up the cross. But he, sad at the word, went away grieved, for he had large possessions. And Jesus, looking around, says to his disciples, how difficultly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. I want to speak about riches. As you speak about a subject like that, you can't help thinking about the Lord himself. And that's why I read my first scripture in 2 Corinthians about the Lord, about Paul's impression of Jesus himself. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor. You can't help wondering and pondering over the conditions that Jesus was in before he came here with his Father. You can't help wondering at the stoop when he came here as a man, and what it meant to him to become a man. He didn't come here, as we well know, as an emperor, even as an ordinary man. He came here as a baby. How low Jesus came. What a change it was for him to be dependent on his mother, to grow up among men and to see what men were really like at first hand, to pass through life in absolute perfection. We know so little about most of the life of Jesus, 30 years, when we get so little detail about the life of my blessed Saviour. We know he was the son of a carpenter. Is not this the son of a carpenter? That's the way man looked at him. And yet, who was there? It was the Son of God himself. But he grew up in a carpenter's shop. He would have learned to use the tools of the trade. The hymn speaks about him whose hands were skilled at the plane and the lathe. Think of Jesus. And men saw him just as the son of a carpenter. How low he came. Why did he come that way? It was so that you and I might become enriched. That we might know something of the riches that God has in mind for you and I in trusting in the blessed Saviour and going in for the things that he has in mind for us through that your sakes he being rich became poor in order that ye by his poverty might be enriched. What Jesus has done for us in the glad tidings, how great things he has done for us. It speaks somewhere about that, the great things that Jesus has done. The hymn speaks about the way that Jesus has done, great things he has done. What a change God has brought in through the blessed Son of God, that you and I might be enriched through what he's done. And yet we know what it cost him. We refer to him as a baby. We refer to him growing up. But then we think of his public service when he went about among men. And we think of the perfection of the pathway of Jesus. Think of him every day, every minute of every day, pleasing his God and Father. No up moments and down moments, no black days and bad days, nothing like that for Jesus. He was perfect. He's a perfect Saviour. And he wants to save each one of us. If anyone here has any doubt about their salvation, any doubt about peace with God, available through just simply trusting in the work of Jesus. It's all done. The work has been done. You have to simply grasp what Jesus has done, like stretching out and reaching a life belt. If you were drowning at sea, you've got to stretch out and reach for it. But the work has been done. It's available for you and I, because Jesus died at Calvary's tree. Think of the greatness of that work when he hung there and bore my sins in his own body on the tree. How personal the work of Christ is. He did it for me, and he did it for you, if only you put your trust in what he has done. The work is available. Free salvation, justification. You think what it is that God looks upon you as having a clean slate, nothing against you, no charge. The hymn says, who to our charge shall lay our sins before our God? They're all washed away. In Jesus' precious blood, we think of the greatness of what Jesus has done, and we marvel at the way that we've been enriched through his poverty, through what he came to suffer, the shedding of that precious blood of his at Calvary, when our sins were removed forever from the sight of a holy God. I read of two men, both of whom it says of them that they were rich. One got advantage of the blessing that God has in mind, I believe. Another, we just have to leave with the question over him, question mark over him, that scripture leaves there. I read first of all about Zacchaeus. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus. I think God must have been working in Zacchaeus's heart. We're told a little bit about him. He was chief tax gatherer and he was rich. He was one of the despised tax gatherers, as we referred to in the reading, operating on behalf of a foreign power, raising taxes, usually doing it pretty dishonestly. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Just get the impression that that goes beyond mere curiosity. It may have been, we don't know. He sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not for the crowd. He had this opportunity when Jesus was coming to where he lived, and he decided that he was going to take the opportunity to find out a little bit about Jesus. He couldn't. He was only a short man. The crowds were great. There was all around the blessed Lord. So he goes up and climbs into the sycamore tree. I just get a sense of the urgency of him. A grown man, if he's chief tax gatherer, I suspect he's no longer a young man, and he climbs into a tree. To see who Jesus was. And he thought, right, I'm well hidden here. I can see what I want to see, and that will be it. Things don't work out quite like he intended. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. Zacchaeus would have thought, well, he knows my name. He knows about not just our names, he knows all about us. In spite of that, he's ready, willing, able to save. What a saviour we have. What a saviour was here, walking about the streets of Palestine. What an opportunity Zacchaeus had to embrace the blessed Saviour and take him into his house and his home. There were those who said he's turned in to lodge with a sinful man. Jesus wouldn't have denied that. He was quite happy to go in. He could do things that we couldn't do, but he certainly went there into the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus turns out to be a man a little different from the rest of the tax gatherers. Half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've done anything wrong, I return fourfold. Goes beyond, I think, what the law required. And the Lord sees in that man something. And he speaks about salvation coming to that house today. What an opportunity Zacchaeus had. We might say he seized that opportunity with both hands. And the Lord said, salvation has come to this house today, in that he's a son of Abraham. One of the faithful, one of the faithful. And here he was embracing the blessed Saviour, taking him into his house, entertaining him. And we gather from this that he actually had a personal link with Jesus by what the Lord himself says about him. Salvation has come to this house. So here's a man who's taken the opportunity of hearing what Jesus had in mind for him. Seizing the opportunity, as I said, and realizing that there was someone who could make a complete change, a complete difference in his life. The other young man in Mark's Gospel, again, he's urgent. He ran up to the Saviour and knelt before him. I hadn't noticed that before. He ran up to him and knelt, kneeling to him, asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What had happened in that man's life that suddenly a young man starts thinking about eternal life? Again, we don't get the details in Scripture, but something was working in that man's soul that he's found the need to think about eternal life. He'd felt the fragile, temporary, brief nature of human life. And he felt he needed something more than that. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God. He refers to the commandments and goes through some of them, and this young man says, all these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. I love to think of that, because It's typical of the Saviour that someone says something like this, and the Lord, it's commented about the Scripture, the Holy Spirit comments in the Scripture that Jesus loved him.
Mm.
Or he was moved with compassion. We have some impression of the heart of the blessed Saviour as meeting a needy soul, moved with compassion, loving him.
Mm.
And Jesus said to him, "One thing lackest thou, go sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, taking up the cross." What a challenge.
Mm.
What a challenge. Go sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, taking up the cross. What a challenge to me.
Mm.
2014, what a challenge to me as to the way I'm prepared to go to follow Jesus, leaving everything, taking up the cross and following Jesus. "But this man, sad at the word, went away grieved, for he had large possessions." Something stood in his way. Mm. Just one thing, large possessions.
Mm.
The soul in earnest, and yet material things held him up. How solemn.
Mm.
And as I said earlier, he goes out of the pages of Scripture as unaffected by an encounter with Jesus.
Mm.
Solemn. Solemn fact. Many have done it. Many have done it. Thank God for everyone who's had an encounter with Jesus and accepted the work of Jesus for him. Mm. Accepted the work at Calvary. Found peace with God. Found what it is to have all our sins cleared before a holy God.
Mm.
Justified as if there was no stain on our character at all. Given the gift of the Holy Spirit, this man missed all these blessings that God has in mind for him.
Mm.
And God has in mind for us. May we not miss out. May we not allow one thing to stand in the way of what God has in mind for us. The fact that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies.
Mm.
Something to think about, actually. Mm. We don't know very much about it. Well, let me speak for myself. I don't know very much about it. But we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And God has done it through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we worship him more.
Mm.
And be concerned to be more pleasing to him. For his name's sake.
Amen.